We'll take a few weeks in here. And this is, it was Monday this week. I was watching last Sunday to make sure I didn't say something real stupid that I had to clean up. Praise God, I haven't had to do that in a while. Amen. Some of you are probably like, you should have cleaned a little bit of up, Pastor, but I didn't think I had to clean anything up. So you need to deal with the Holy Spirit on that. Amen. But I was watching it and listening, and I heard in my heart clear, one of the clearest things I've heard in quite some time. The Lord said to me, you're going to start a series, and it's going to be called The Surgeon and the Scalpel. The Surgeon and the Scalpel. How many people want to go home? Yeah. So as I was pondering it here, I thought, I was just thinking about this. How many people how many people have ever had surgery, like a significant surgery in your life, right, where you went under the knife? Yeah, right? I had a couple hernias back in the day, you know, trying to pick up stuff that's too heavy because I'm a meathead like that. So I've had a few, you know, a couple of those things as well. But think about this. Just think about this. If we're going to have a surgery, especially the more serious the surgery is, it'd be wise to start like digging around and finding a doctor that's got a good reputation, right? So you find your doctor, you settle, you're like, oh, I'm going to let this doctor do this procedure. But you show up for the day of surgery and you get rolled into the operating room and there's no tools there. And you're like, yo, doc, I'm not questioning your ability, but what are you gonna cut me with, man? He's like, don't worry about it. We'll work it out. You'd be like, God, can we postpone this procedure, right? Or think about this, church. If we went into this same operating room and there's all the tools are there, but there's no doctor, we'd be like, who's gonna use these tools, man? I'm getting a little nervous here, right? And what I said last Sunday is talking about the how important it is that we understand that the Spirit of God works in partnership with the Word of God. My last scripture last Sunday was what? Hebrews chapter 4, I think it is. Chapter 4, right? The Word of God is living and active and say sharper. Sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit. I'm just going to throw something out here already. I'm already off my notes, but think about this, church. The Lord really spoke to me this week. It's been a real interesting week. Good one. But he said, son, the church is spending far too much time in the soul realm thinking that working on somebody's operating in the soul is going to fix something. I'm going to look over here. We need to stop going to secular psychologists thinking or psychiatrists thinking they're going to fix something in your life. Amen. Church, I'm telling you the truth. Most therapists go to therapists. That's true, y'all. Am I suggesting don't go to therapy? I'm not suggesting that, but I'm saying if you're looking for a spiritual answer from someone who doesn't know Jesus, you're not going to find nothing. If you're looking for something from the Spirit of God, talking to somebody who does not have the Spirit of God, the chances of you finding a spiritual answer from a secular source is really, really small. My dad has been home with the Lord now for 5 or 6 years. My dad and I used to call my dad all the time, man. I'd call my dad every single day. We had a great relationship. And I would talk to him about stuff going on in my life. One day I pick up the phone to call my dad. Literally, it's in my hand. And the Spirit of God says, why do you keep talking to him about kingdom things? Right? Not like witnessing to them, right? I'm struggling with something. I was young, newly married, various things, right? Some financial struggles. And my dad was a great guy. He loved him. But the Spirit of God's clear. I was, church, I'm telling you the truth. I literally was holding the phone in my hand in my truck and I go, I don't know. Now, did I keep calling my dad every day? Sure. But instantly, church, I stopped looking for spiritual answers from a man who did not know the Spirit of God. Can I get amen? Turn to me in your Bibles to John chapter 16. Told you I'm going to be quick this morning. Holy Ghost, help me to get through here. John chapter 16, go to verse 12, but I want to show you something in verse 1 first. Verse 1 is up here. Look at this. Jesus says this, "These things I've spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling." Stumbling. Now, when he says, "These things I have spoken to you," it's a past tense, meaning I'd encourage you just back up a few verses in the book of John, amen, and read what Jesus is talking about. If you read verse 2, verse 3 here, he says, "They'll throw you out of the synagogues. They're going to do this, they're going to do this." Think about this. You know what he's talking about? He's not talking about the government. He's talking about religious folks. He's talking about the religious folks are where you're going to get the most trouble from, church. Religious people is who crucified Jesus, not the politicians. Politicians, Pontius Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. Right. Oh, Pastor, you see what's going on in government? You know what? I'm becoming less concerned about the government and more concerned about a spirit of religion that keeps sneaking its way into the church. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Think about this. The Greek word here for stumbling is, it's this word that we get the word scandal from. Scandal. Like a scandal, right? We got plenty of those. Oh yeah, Pastor, in Washington. You know, we got plenty of scandals in the body of Christ, y'all. Can I get amen? If you look around, the Holy Spirit's cleaning this stuff up. Yeah? But here's what the word means. The Greek word means to, literally means it, it's a verb, and it means to trip somebody up. Right? Jesus is warning us that the enemy is looking to trip you up. And Jesus said, "I have," everybody say spoken. "I have spoken these things to you so that you will not stumble." You'll be kept from stumbling. Peter talks about the same thing. He says, "I've given you these words so that you will not." He who practices these things will never stumble, Peter says. How many folks are tired of stumbling? For sure, man. Isn't that frustrating? Right? So think about it. If Jesus is, what he's saying here is true, then would it not behoove us to study what he's spoken? Because he said, "I spoke these things so that you won't stumble." So if I don't know what he's spoken, then the chances of me not stumbling go down significantly. But if I do know what he's spoken, then I can use what he's spoken when the enemy comes and tries to trip me up. Is that right? The Lord spoke to me a long time ago. He said, "Son, the biggest problem in the church today is biblical illiteracy." The average Joe Christian does not know the Word of God. Is that true? I'm not being critical. I'm trying to help y'all. Because you know what? I stumble all over myself for a long time until I decided I'm going to get into the Word of God. Yeah? John chapter 16, verse 12. Again, the question is how? Okay, so Pastor, I hear you. How? How do we do this, right? How? Verse 12. "I have many more things to say to you," Jesus speaking here, "but you cannot bear them now." But when he, the Spirit of truth, everybody say the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth comes, he, who's he right there? Spirit of truth, right? Will what? Guide you into all the truth. For he, who's he right here? Spirit of truth, right? Will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. Who's me right there? Jesus specifically, right? We're going, that's important. For he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. But all things that the Father has are mine. We see the Godhead right here, church, in like three verses. Do you see it, right? You got the Spirit of God, you got Jesus, and now you've got the Father, right? All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus says, right? Therefore, I said that he, the Spirit of truth, takes of what is belongs to Jesus, which is from the Father, and discloses it to you, gives it to you, describes it to you. What's the word I want here? expresses it to you, right? Announces it to you. Who is announcing this stuff? The Spirit of truth. Amen. Think about this. Jesus starts off this little section here by saying, I want to tell you so many more things, but you cannot bear it, right? Bear it. The word means to take up or to carry. You are not able. Jesus is literally like, y'all, I could preach for decades right now, okay? Obviously, Jesus can preach a long time. Can I get amen? If Peter can preach long enough so some dude falls out of a window and dies and they lay hands on him and comes back, I think Jesus could probably preach longer. Can I get amen? Right? It ain't like he's like, I'm done. I got nothing else to say. He's like, I could preach to you till the cows come home and you're not going to get it. Why? Because the Spirit of truth had not yet been given. You ever try to explain something to somebody that they just don't have the mental capacity to wrap their brain around it? It doesn't matter how you explain it. They're able to get it or they're not. And Jesus is saying, look, there are so many more things I want to tell y'all, but you do not have the capacity to understand it, so I'm not even going to talk about it. Amen. Paul says it like this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. We got that up there? Let's read this together, church. What kind of man? Natural man does not accept the things of the what? Oh, not the word. Isn't that interesting? The things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Appraised means to evaluate, to research, right? To like comprehend is the word there in the Greek, right? Here's what's interesting, church. The Greek word for natural man is, it's like psychikos, okay? I'm probably butchering that Greek word, but psyche is soul, right? It's a soulish man, not just a carnal man, right? He's saying, what Paul is telling the church here, telling us this morning through the Spirit of God, is he says, look, if you want to operate primarily in your soul, you will not understand the things of the Spirit of God. You will not. I went to college to be a psych major. I was going to be a therapist. Isn't that funny? The Lord's like, well, I still help folks out a little bit, but I'm not coming at it from a human perspective. We got to come at it from the kingdom of God. Yeah. Tony Evans, say, oh, y'all know Tony Evans? Yeah, yeah. He tells a story one time when his kids were little. He was bought him a bicycle. And he says, you know, he's like, most dudes, I don't need no instructions. I know how to build a bicycle. Any men have trouble reading instructions? Honey, you think we should stop for directions? No, I know where I'm going. So after, Tony says, after 4 hours of me trying to put this bicycle together, my wife comes in, she says, Tony, don't you think that the bicycle maker knows more about bicycle building than you do? Maybe you should open the instructions up and, you know, you probably had this bike built by now. And he says, I got thinking about that, and I felt like, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, son, don't you think that the man maker knows more about man fixing than anybody else does? Yes. And you know what the man maker gave us to fix our life? It's called the Word of God. Amen. The solution, church, to literally anything in your life, and I'm talking from experience, I was sharing with our new guests here this morning. I said, look, some people look at me, oh, you're a pastor, and you got a great wife and great kids. Oh, my gosh, cushy pastor's life. Somebody actually said that to me one time. This must be nice living your cushy pastor's life. Like, y'all don't know what I went through to get where I'm at in my life. You don't know what the journey, the fire that I walked through and the junk that the Spirit of God had to dig out of my soul so I would stop being such an idiot. My wife says, amen, that's a good word. Church, I'm just going to be real with you. When we found out we were pregnant for our first kid and we found it was a girl, I was scared because of my past. Do I need to be any more descriptive than that? The second that little girl came out and I held her in my hands, the Spirit of God came all over me. I started weeping. I said, how could I ever hurt this little girl? Can I get amen? No, I've still done some stupid stuff with my kids. I remember Olivia, my second one time, she was being crazy. She's about 4 years old. Anybody ever see their four-year-old? Hey, time to go. Let's go. We got to go. We're late. I hate being late. Man, I hate it. Come on. Come on. The dog's peeing on the floor. The cat's doing something. You know what I mean? Come on. And we get out in the garage, and Olivia collapses on the garage floor. I'm not putting my shoes on. I would love to say the Holy Spirit took control at that moment in my life, but he did not. The spirit of man came on me, and I picked her up, the one-arm pickup, right? You guys ever done that? Whap-pow on the fanny. Church, before her feet hit the ground, the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you doing? Heard it in my heart just like that. Boom. I started crying, started weeping. You know what the Spirit of God said to me? You are treating your daughter like your father treated your brother. My father and my brother, still, my dad's been with Jesus for 6 years. There's still animosity there. Man, it caught me dead in my tracks right there. I never laid hand on her again. I got no problem spanking kids. Sometimes they need a good whack in the fanny. Can I get amen? But the Lord said to me, not that one. You don't treat her like that. Can I get amen? We hear the Spirit of God. He will guide us. Is that okay? Yeah? The solution to anything in your life, no matter what the obstacle might be, what doctors have diagnosed you with, medical, emotional, mental health, what trauma you have experienced, how big the mountain is standing in your way, the solution is found by walking with the Spirit of God. He knows. See, we see, all we see is our pain. But he sees why we're in pain. He sees where it came from. He knows exactly what needs to be rearranged inside of us. Is that true? Yeah? I had some sexual sin I carried for years into my walk with the Lord. And I heard this preacher one time, not important what he's preaching about, but church, I'm telling you what, it was like he said something, it was like I was sitting in a hotel room in Rhode Island before I was on staff here at the church. And it was like the Spirit of God, this preacher said this statement, and the Spirit was like, pow. And my whole life flashed through my mind in like 5 seconds. And the Holy Spirit says, man, here's the root of it. I had done church, I had fasted, I'd prayed, I'd confessed my sin. I'd stood on my head. I didn't really do that. But you know what I'm saying? I did everything I could possibly, everything the church told me to do, everything I could find. Could not kick it. The Spirit of God, in 5 seconds, I cried. Church, I wept and wept. I cried myself to sleep. Woke up the next morning like I never did it. Gone. Boom. That was 17 years ago. Never, like I never did. Never wanted to do it again. How's that sound? Amen. Counter with the Spirit of God. Is that all right? Well, he did that because you're a pastor. No, he did that because I'm his son. And he loves me. Amen? Yikes, we got to go fast. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into what church? All the truth. Do you understand? In other words, you know, some churches like, wow, we're a gospel church. Then y'all in trouble. You know what all the other stuff that Jesus wanted to teach us that he couldn't teach us before the Holy Ghost came? It starts in the book of Acts and goes to the end of the Bible. Amen. That's all the stuff that Jesus is like, look, I want to teach you all this stuff, but you ain't going to hear it now. We need to wait till the Holy Ghost comes. And the Holy Spirit inspired Paul and Peter and John and Jude and James to write the things that Jesus wanted to tell us, but he says, y'all won't get it. Is that okay? You know what else we should be reading in our Bibles? Is Old Testament. Yes, Old Testament, church. Old Testament. You know who you will not find a description of Jesus in the New Testament. You know where you find descriptions of who Jesus was, what his life was like? Read Isaiah. You will find it. He was a man rejected. No one wanted to come around him. He was a man of sorrows. He was all these things. We find Jesus in the Old Testament. We see what he did in the New Testament. We find who he was in the Old Testament. Is that okay? Here's one of the most important things, my beloved, that the Spirit of Truth is coming. He says, Jesus says that he, the Spirit of Truth, will guide us into all the truth, right? John 14, we back up two chapters, verse 15 says this, if you love me, Jesus again speaking, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father and he'll give you another. Oh, come on, church. Am I the only one that realized those two verses were back to back this week? What? Because you know, we read verse 15 and we're like, oh man, I'm in trouble because I really blew it this week. I guess I don't love Jesus. You know, no, Jesus is making a pretty bold statement, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's another whole nother sermon sometime, right? I don't think he's talking about the old covenant and all that whole law, right? It's a different discussion. But the next thing, right? Here's the standard. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Here's the standard. And then the very next thing he says, y'all can't do it. So I'm going to send you the helper. I saw one preacher this week. He says, you know what? Jesus, the Holy Spirit's called the helper, not to do it for you. Right? Hey, bro, can you come help me move on Sunday? Sure. I'm not going to be there. I just need you to do it for me, though. All right. Right? The Holy Ghost, my beloved, is waiting for you to get off your blessed assurance and start making some good decisions. Can I get amen? Remember, who heard? We're going to be past 11. All right, just hang in there, church. Come on. How many people heard? I'm almost done, I promise. How many people heard this phrase growing up? God helps those that help themselves. Ever hear that? And then what we hear in church for a long time is, oh, that's not the gospel. That is completely the gospel, okay? Because what we do otherwise is I'm just going to sit on my couch and pick my nose and watch soap operas and think God's going to do something in my life. God does help those who help themselves. Get up and do something for God. And the Spirit of God will kick in. Is that all right? Yes, ma'am. Sure. We're having church, everybody.
So, I would admit to being not the easiest person to live with for the last couple of months. And in all candor, obviously causes friction in my marriage over because I'm very sad. However, what I've learned is the first thing you need to do to help yourself is to ask the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I was taught that I have been promoted in my life. A degree, too much of a degree, of some jealousy. Like, oh my gosh, these people have a nice house, these people have a, oh, I'm best friend, I got to go with this, da 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 da, you da 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 da. And I'm happy for them.
Yep. Yep.
Anybody else have an issue with that? So, just needed to share that today.
Yes.
Especially based on what you're saying.
The biggest thing that you, if you didn't hear that, church, is ask.
Ask
and you will receive.
Best mark is it for me because I wept.
Yeah. So, check. Thank you so much. Check this out, church, right? He'll send you another, the helper. Back in John 14, right? That he, who's he? The helper, right? That he may be with you, how long, church?
Forever.
Is there any reason he's not going to be with you? No, everybody say no. His job is to straighten out your junk. Oh, I had a terrible week. I think the Holy Spirit left. No, he's knocking on the door of your heart saying, cut it out. Stop doing that. Come on, man. I didn't make you to live there. I made you to live here. This is how I made you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, the Spirit of truth, or know him, the Spirit of truth. But you know him, the Spirit of truth, because he, the Spirit of truth, abides, look at what Jesus says here, with you and will be. What is he saying right here? He says, look, church, you disciples, he ain't talking to church yet, right? Church doesn't exist yet. But he's saying to disciples, you're experiencing the Spirit of truth because he's in me. He's with you. You're in the vicinity of the Spirit of truth. You are receiving ministry from the Spirit of truth. When I go, he's going to take up residence inside you and straighten you out.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? Amen. Isn't that good? I'll not leave you as orphans. Oh man, come on, baby. Isn't that so good? The helper and the spirit of adoption in four verses. Yeah, isn't that so good? Verse 13, back in John 16, whatever he, the Spirit of truth, hears, he will speak. So according to Jesus, my beloved, as New Testament believers and disciples of Christ and temples of the Holy Spirit, we should be, everybody say this with me, hearing his voice. Jesus says the Holy Spirit hears what the Father says and speaks. Yeah? How many people ever heard the voice of the Holy Ghost? How many people listen real good? Oh, a lot of hands didn't go up for that one, did they? Shh. You know, he'll just keep digging at you, man. He'll keep on you. Can I get amen, right? How many people ever dig their heels in? He just keeps hitting. Why can't we move forward? Because you didn't do what I already told you to do. I told you to go take care of that. I told you to go forgive that person. I told you to stop being jealous. I told you to be grateful. I told you to... Yeah? Is this all right? Verse 16, verse 14 in chapter 16. Almost done, I promise. I'm going to go real fast here. This is important, though. He, the Spirit of truth, will glorify me, right, church? Who's me right here? Let's say it again.
Jesus,
right? For he, the Spirit of truth, will take of mine, Jesus, and will disclose it to you, right? So last point for today. The Spirit of truth will glorify me. Like, we're going to just take another 5 minutes and unpackage this just for a moment. It's super important. John chapter 1 says this. Most of you should be able to quote these first couple of verses. Let's read this together, church. Come on. We're declaring the word of God out loud, which is important. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Who's he right here? He is what? Not yet. Hang on, don't get ahead of yourself. He's not Jesus yet. He is the word, right? It's talking about the word. In the beginning was the word. There's the topic. We're doing a little bit English grammar class today, church. I hated English in high school. I used to sleep through English class, man. All right? And it's so funny. God is ironic. He says, y'all slept through English class. Now you're teaching words. Isn't that funny? A little grammar. The word is the topic here, church. He is the word. Can I get amen? In other words, the word is a person. The word's a person. We're getting there. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Is who's him? The word. And apart from him, the word, who is a person, obviously, nothing came into being that has come into being. You know what, little side note? Including the devil. Including the devil. Satan didn't make himself, y'all. Satan was made through the word. That's real good. In what, church? Verse 4. In
him.
Who's him? Oh. In him was. Oh. And the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, now I don't like this translation right here, it's not a great word, did not comprehend it. The Greek word means overcome it. Now, we all know this, walk into a dark room tonight, after the sun goes down, flip a light switch on, is there a battle? No, the light, the darkness, pow, it's gone instantly, right? So if the word is the light, and the light is the light, is the light is life, and it's the light, and the light is the light of man, and the darkness can't overcome it, that means when we, when we're filled, as we fill ourselves with the word, ever say the word? More and more light is coming into us. Is that true? Yeah. I'm just telling you what this says, right? The light is the life of men. Is that right? The light shines in the darkness, darkness can't comprehend it. The verse before this says, right, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, right? The word is the life, and that life produces light inside of me. The book of James, he says, receive the word of God implanted, which is able to save your soul, not your spirit, church. Can I get amen? If I got saved, the Holy Spirit joins himself with my spirit, by which I cried, Abba, Father, all right, I'm adopted. Can I get amen? My soul is what keeps messing me up. My memories, my experiences as a human being, as a man, my emotions, right? Oh, Pat, I don't feel that God loves me today. Who cares how you feel? Who cares? My emotions will deceive me. Oh, we should follow your heart, brother. Garbage. That's complete garbage. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, the Bible says. We should follow the voice. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm done right here. It's 11:05. I'm doing good. Praise God. Church, listen to this. We're done, right? Seriously, I got 9 paragraphs left. I'm just joking. It's not that many. The word is Jesus. Read down chapter 1, just a few more verses. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you will call, his name shall be called what? Emmanuel. I'm blending a few verses together. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus. Years back, I was pondering this truth. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, son, when you read your Bible, you are reading Jesus. He's not just the gospel. He's the word. Cover to cover. Do you understand? It's not just a book. Oh, I read 3 chapters today. What'd you remember? Nothing. Oh, that's why you're struggling. Is this all right?
Yeah.
Jesus is the word, and the word is Jesus, and Jesus is the word. Now think about this. Last little point here. I promise I'm almost done, church. Jesus at one point says to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures day and night, thinking that in them you'll find. Anybody know what the verse says?
Life,
but you're not willing to come to me. Whoa. You know who knows the Bible real good?
No.
The devil. He knows it real good. He doesn't have any revelation of it. He can't see into it, because you can only see into it by the Spirit of God. Right? But the devil tries using the word against Jesus himself. Think about it. The devil tries to use the word against the word. You're like, bro, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. He's not smart. He's just consistent. Persistent. Yeah, that's a good one. Can I get amen? As I said last Sunday, if Jesus, the word, had to use the word to fight off the devil, how do we think we're going to fight off the devil if we ain't got some word in us? Yeah? But the point is, church, Jesus himself is warning us, just memorizing the scriptures is not enough, because there's no life in the book. You need to see the book and hear the book through the author, who's the Spirit of truth, who lives inside of you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anybody been in church and heard the word? How many of you walked out of church and had no faith? For real. That's it. Paul ain't saying you hear it from the preacher. He's saying you hear it in your spirit, man. You hear the voice, right? Because the Spirit of God hears what the Father is saying and speaks it. Can I get any answers? How many of you have read a passage of Scripture, I'm done right here, and thought, oh, that makes no sense. And then you read it again. And then 10 years later, you read it, and you're like, bang, and it hits you, and you're like, what? Whoa, how did, yikes. Why? Because you heard it that time,
yeah.
Right? It hits you right in the heart. Pow! Whoa, man. Right? Is this okay? Let's stand up. Done right here. So understand where we're going for a few weeks here, church. Can the Spirit of God speak to you if you don't read your Bible?
Yes.
Obviously, he can do whatever he wants. Will he?
Maybe.
He can, but the chances of hearing the Spirit of God without spending time in the Word of God is very, very small. Can I get amen? It'd be like, you know, somebody writes a book and you just want to talk to the author. Hey, tell me what your book is about. He goes, I wrote the book. Read it. I'm not going to tell you what's in the book. I wrote it so you could read it yourself. Like, you start reading the book, then we can talk about it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yeah? The Spirit of the Lord. Listen to this. These are just names of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of adoption. Spirit of truth. The helper. The comforter. The comforter. The Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Holy Spirit will not only not work outside the truth of Scripture, my beloved, but he is also in us to reveal the truth of Scripture to us. Yeah? You and I, church, will never understand the kingdom without intimacy with the Spirit of God. And I was struggling mightily to understand the Spirit of God without spending time in the Word of God. The Spirit of God is here to reveal the Scriptures, and the Scriptures reveal the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're gathered here. Thank you so much for touching our hearts, all of our hearts this morning already, God.
Yes,
oh God. We grab onto what you did here this morning by faith.
Yes, Father.
And we refuse to let go of it. Even the writer of Hebrews says, strengthen those hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Why would I have to strengthen my hands if I didn't have to grab onto something and hold on? Grab onto it, the Lord says, and hold on. The enemy's going to try to wrestle it. Well, why can't God just rebuke the devil? He could, but sometimes he doesn't. He says, you hang on to it. I gave it to you. You hang on to it. Grab on and hold on. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for strengthening the hands of every person in this church, every person within the sound of my voice, oh God. Strengthen their hands, God, that they can hold on to what you're speaking to them. Hold on to hope. Hold on to the vision you gave them, God. Hold on to the word that you gave them. Maybe it was 20 years ago and they've given up on it, God. I thank you for bringing that word back to their spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bring it just storming back, clear as when they first heard it, God. Say, man, I forgot that the Lord said that about me. I forgot the Lord spoke this over my life. Father, thank you for resurrecting, God, and breathing again in our spirit, God, what you are doing in our hearts, in our homes, in our cities, God, in this country, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We sang that song today, kings and kingdoms falling right now. We decree and declare, small k kings, small k kingdoms, come down in the name of Jesus. Come down in the name of Jesus. And God, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Thank you for being with us. Guys, we will be here Wednesday night for prayer. I'd encourage you, if you have some time on Wednesday night, man, come out and pray with us. And who knows what the Lord will do. Amen. Have an awesome week. Enjoy the last few days of warm weather. Amen. Snow is coming.
Thank God.
Shh. Bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Amen.